I'd like to call the Culture Committee meeting to order. It's April 11th, 2017. The time is 2:34 PM. Roll call, please.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Congressman Baker?
Here.
Congresswoman Buffalohead?
Present.
Congressman Hamilton?
Here.
Congressman Shaw?
Here.
Speaker Pratt?
Congressman Shaw, would you mind praying for us this afternoon, please?
Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us today and give us strength and some energy and calm our hearts, Father, and our minds, and we make good decisions, Father. During this time of the year, I ask you again to think of our drum keepers and our three districts, Father. Help these young men and their families to get ready for June, Father, so that we can take care of those things that are dear to our hearts, Father, and also ask you to elevate those young men and make a way for them in this life, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Next is approval of the minutes. Can you please look over the minutes? For April 4th.
Motion to approve the minutes for April 4th.
Motion made and seconded to approve the minutes. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. All right. First is consideration of ONCS. Yes, you have both copies.
I have this.
Right, yes.
This card, copy.
Oh, okay. Good thinking. Consideration of ONCA 1747, an act to authorize and appropriate $4,000 to the Native American churches within the jurisdictional boundaries of the Osage Nation and to establish an alternate effective date. Congresswoman Buffalohead is the sponsor. She is in attendance. Congresswoman, you have the floor.
Thank you. I started this appropriation last year. I'm active in the Native American churches within the Osage boundaries. I've always been active. My grandfather was a roadman. That's where I was named, and we have a church at Bug Creek. And I have seen the decline in the number of people that can contribute monetarily to our churches. It's not like we have weekly meetings like other churches that get collection plates. And when I very first started thinking about this, it actually had come up during First Congress where it was shot down. And in my mind, we asked these roadmen to name our children. We asked them to put away the people that we've lost, and there's a more that goes with it. In order to do it, our boys need names. Where do they get those names from? These roadmen. Not all of the roadmen name everyone. We have other people, members of our own Congress, that go into meetings to give names to our boys and our youth. And it was a way for us as a nation to help contribute to that, because it takes a lot of money to put those meetings on, whether it's buying medicine or the meal that's prepared for after, or if it's for fixing up the meeting house or the cook shack. A lot of things go into that, and I've paid for a meeting, for a birthday meeting for Joseph, so I know how much it costs, and it takes a lot of money to be able to do that. So I wanted us to be able to help our spiritual leaders as we request all these things that they do for us. And in my opinion, this always should have been kind of included with the cultural donations that we give to drum keepers, War Mothers, Post 198. It wasn't, and so I brought it out as a standalone appropriation last year. It passed. There were some people that were against it because they didn't want to mix church and government, or they said, well, what about the Osage Baptist churches, you know, are we going to have to start giving to them? But I'm not aware of any Osage Baptist Church that names our kids or has a meeting when someone's passed away a year later. But we ask these, without that altar, this is how I was raised, without that altar, we have nothing. That's where it all comes from, with that altar, everything that we have. And we bring our mourners in there, we bring in the sick, those who are just needing spiritual guidance. And I think it's important for us to try to help with a very, what I consider a modest amount. Three of our churches took the money last year, and I know that Ready Bulls bought a new cook shack, and it didn't pay for all of it. It was a $4,000 structure, but that $1,000 really helped them. Now there's a safe place for our cooks that cook there for meetings to be safe while they're cooking. And before they were having a hard time with it. I know that the one church that didn't take the money said, we're probably not going to take the money, but that doesn't mean I don't support what you're doing here, because I do. And so to me, that meant a lot. He said, I know I support this, and I think that I can see where it is needed. So I'm going to withdraw the legislation, and Assistant Principal Chief has checked with Chief, and they are agreeable to inserting this into the fall under cultural donations, where we contribute to Drum Keepers, War Mothers, Post 198, and someone will have to help me with whatever else we contribute to. These are the three big ones that I can
pull up.
Auxiliary. Can you remember what else they
like?
Marine Corps Attachment. They're agreeable to put it in there. I think that that is the most appropriate place. I think that it will, then we're not appropriating money to a cultural endeavor in the spring and one in the fall. And if we just lump it in there together, then that would be my, that would be what I would recommend.
Okay. I'm trying to remember how we handled this the other day. So, because I think we have to vote on that.
So we would have to vote to report it out.
Right.
With the intention that the committee knows that from the floor I will withdraw the legislation, and that you will see this appropriation come back in the fall under cultural donations with the Drum Keepers and others.
Okay. Any more discussion?
I would like more discussion. I would like to hear from my colleagues on when they see it in the fall, if they're going to support it or not.
Congressman Maker.
I definitely support this, and I listened to the Congresswoman Buckle Head tell her history of the church, and I too go back. I was named by my grandpa Ross Maker in the prior church, which was our family church. Put that back in the old days, and it's a good thing, and it's much needed. We all know that the old churches were financed by the old full bloods, and they're all gone now. And along with their handwriting, kind of has been divided up, into the heirs of the families. So it's not as much as it used to be. And so I know that the churches are at this time kind of having a little bit of a struggle to keep going. It is expensive, and I was donate what I can. to a lot of Central Mall of Church, which I'm leader, and my mother as well. They've been quite a bit helpful. So it's a good thing, and I definitely for it. I will be supporting it in the fall.
And I donate too. I donate to the churches as well, but obviously, I can't donate $1,000, but I do what I can, whether I'm buying groceries for fall and spring meeting or donating $100 or donating my, you know, just going and helping cut meat and getting ready or washing a dish after the meal. So I think we all have a, to do our part in trying to help with that. Because we only have 4 churches left within Osage boundaries, 4, just 4. And think about how many we had a long time ago, 4 is a small number.
Any more discussion? Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will be supporting this for you in the fall as well. I've never been a part of the Native American Church. Most of my family has not ever been involved in the Native American Church. It goes all the way back to my great-grandparents, but I've been around enough people to see how important and significant it is to their lives. And I was raised Catholic, and I'm sure you all know the Catholic religions, and they're strict, and they're this, and they're that, but to me, the miracles that have come out of this church, you see them every day. I see them in those arbors, I see them in the schools, I see them, and, you know, being a part of Chief Redigal, and, you know, I was working with him several years ago, and, you know, he talked to me about them, and just, you know, the miracles that happen in there. So it's in my opinion, it is a wonderful piece of Osage culture that I'll always support. So I'll support this in the fall.
Any more discussion?
Okay.
Entertain some movement.
Is the motion to? Mm-hmm.
I'll wait.
No, that's me.
Yeah, sure. Do you okay, Congressman Tillman?
Make a motion to pass ONCA 1747 to the Congress with a no recommendation.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say yes.
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 Those say no. Okay. Report that out. Thank you, Congressman Wilson. Next is ONCA 1762, an act to amend ONCA 1694 to provide a supplemental appropriation to the Language and Cultural Resources Division in the amount of $313,864 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Edwards and I believe Mr. Potts went to get her. This is the bill that was included. And Dr. Shaw's bill. Do you have a copy of that with you? With all everything included. We have a copy of. So I think it would be helpful if we have this stuff, do you think? Okay, right, but I don't know if anybody would like a copy. I would like to get them one.
Sure.
So, okay, I think that would be helpful in this discussion, so we'll get a copy for everyone. You want to put it on the board? I don't remember the number.
I'm really nervous that this committee and all the other committees are going to be off in different directions, and then appropriations is going to hear that, and they're going to be doing something else.
I think it'll be helpful at the moment. Well, I guess we're really talking about the bill for the sponsored funds, but Congressman Shaw.
Sponsors getting ready to speak here, but I'm just going to say the executive branch is here to assist with this committee's discussion and interpretation and decision making regarding the bill and their requests here. I know the budget analyst has some documents prepared, so I think the purpose is for us to really truly understand what's in the bill and try to be as transparent as possible. And I'm available to answer any questions, and the executive branch is here. They would also be able to describe what's going on within the bill.
Congresswoman Edwards. This is a bill that I filed to understand and filed as a result of not being able to look at a bill that combined funding and with new funding. So there's two issues as I understand it. There was an issue of a potential or perceived shortfall that the Gaming Commission felt like they were going to have in their individual operations if there wasn't some supplemental money appropriated. As a result, if I understand it correctly, of not wanting to come back and seek additional funds, there was a lot of movement that took place in between, within the division, and then between divisions. As a result, in this division, you'll have some movement of money downward and then some movement upward. But some of the money is admittedly new money that's being sought, so that would be a supplemental appropriation rather than just an appropriation amendment, which would have moved money. Do you guys have this from the budget analyst, this paperwork? Did this get distributed to everybody?
It's emailed out.
What, a month ago?
A minute ago.
12/17 is when it's documented on April 11th, so.
Everyone will pull out your electronic device.
You can also go make copies.
Yeah.
I like a copy.
Okay, yeah. Otherwise, I might be confused.
There's some information from April 3rd, and then there's also this information that says.
Is that your copy or what copy you have, Sharon?
I have a copy. Do you want me to give you a copy too?
No, I'll look in my email, but I think you've got one.
Here.
Yeah, be sure to recycle all this paper.
So, if you look at the Division of Language, Commerce, and Cultural Resources, which is at the bottom, it shows a division increase of $313,863. This piece of paper right here.
Well, we've had members ask for copies, so okay. We could hold off.
All right.
And it's on the board.
Eli, do you have the financials on historic preservation, third-party income, year-to-date?
Yes, we can get those. The new financials were delivered that I'm not sure exactly if they were made the official congressional documents during one of the Appropriations Committee meetings.
Dr. Shaw, do you have the answer yet from the treasurer on your request?
I talked to him this afternoon after you and I spoke earlier. He tells me he's working on it and hopes to have something to me by this afternoon. But that could, it's not come in yet,
okay.
So it's being worked on. What I would say, though, and I realize it's not an official report from the treasurer, I know in appropriations we did have Dr. Hunter come. We were there, I think. Anyway, she came. And while hers is an official report about program revenue, it's her own estimation that they expect to collect an additional $396,989 from their surveillance and monitoring contracts. I expect that the treasurer will make it official, but we do not have his report yet. We do have her, the director of the department's report.
Do you have the monthly financials through March for the Office of Historic Preservation?
Well, I can't exactly read that. So where's the...
What number are you looking for?
I'm looking for the third-party revenue.
There will be no third-party revenue for the Office of Historic Preservation. What you're looking for is going to be classified as program income on this line here. So their budgeting number was $852,347. Currently, they've received $877,000.
Okay.
So they have exceeded their projection at this time.
Okay. And they got $245,000 for the month of...
Correct. For the period of March, they received $245,000.
Okay. That's good. Okay. So, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, so the Division of Language and Cultural Resources is asking for a division increase of $313,863. The budget's impacted, which we didn't have in September, unless somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. So, and I believe we asked for these now, are the Historic Preservation Department, the Immersion School, the Museum, and the Language Department. The new spending is all in historic preservation, I believe. And then, so then if you go to the next page, historic preservation says that there's going to be a salary increase, which will relate to temporary interns. And there's a professional fee increase of $309,000 for multiple contractors. There is a line item to fund a contractor to remove asbestos from a house, which I'm still confused. I'm a little confused about why that's in here instead of capital asset, because there was demolition of something in a capital asset bill that just got passed or is scheduled to be voted. And then there's some equipment. So my only question would be, in this bill, with respect to that, why there's a construction or a remodel project in what is essentially operating fund bill for the year. Then when you go to look at the backup to that, if you go to page, there's not page numbers on here, are there? It's the second to last page. This shows how money, in addition to the increase that will happen for historic preservation, I think you can see that there's $20,000 in an additional salary, in additional wages. There's a $10,000 reduction in wages in the language department. In the immersion school, there's a $33,000 reduction in employee benefits with no corresponding reduction in salary, so I'm not sure how that works. And there's also a $12,251 reduction in employee benefits in the museum. There's a corresponding indirect cost. I guess that's corresponding to the reduction in benefits. And so the two questions then are, one, a, what appears to be a demolition project in a capital, in a operating budget for a department, and then second, how the benefits and payroll taxes are being reduced without corresponding reduction in salaries. Because it looks like for 20, if you look at it, for $20,000 worth of additional salaries in historic preservation, that only equates with a $1,692 increase in benefits. But, well, I guess, and then I don't understand the other things that are in there. The conferences, special events and meetings, the description, I didn't see where that is. I see equipment, salary increase, I guess, is $20,000. And that's being temporary part-time employees, so maybe that's why there's not, the benefit section's not so large. Professional fees would not have benefits that go with that. So those are the questions that I have. And then, like, I don't know what the, like I said, I don't know what the conferences, special events, meetings are. The operations expense, and then why the reduction of benefits. So those are questions that I know that I don't have answers for, so I'm going to begin somewhere else.
Congressman Shaw?
What I recall from Dr. Hunter's presentation of appropriations was that regarding the amount for the Sugarloaf Mound House, that amount was for the asbestos abatement only. Actually, the actual demolition, I believe, was funded by a grant. So it was only for the asbestos abatement.
Okay, that still wouldn't be an operating expense of the department for the year, based on what we've been doing with other.
We're asking, why isn't that demolition coming out of capital asset improvement? I'm saying, my recollection is the grant. I wish Dr. Hunter were here again, but that's what I recall.
Do you have any, okay. So what about the rest of the stuff? Do you know anything?
I would have to defer to the executive, because if anyone on the staff could tell us.
Hello, this is Ron.
Hello,
how are you?
Good, how are you? I think, as you can kind of see on the screen, the reasons for the reduction in benefit, and you're talking particularly immersion and museums, the employees either A, not there the full year, or B, not taking part in 401k or whatever. So I didn't go into the salaries that much. I just asked the accountants to get the low-hanging fruit. I was like, where could we find the most money the quickest way? And that's, so we went right to benefits. Then we asked the directors anywhere that they could offer some help, and language seemed to think that they could do without $2,000 of their conference line item, so that's where that came from. And the same thing with professional fees and equipment. We just asked them, we're looking for money, we're asking for assistance, can you help us and take a look at your budgets, and along with the accountants and the directors came up with these numbers where we could rearrange funds to assist in the Gaming Commission and the ICDW movement.
So the numbers under historic preservation are not necessarily new spending, or they're part of what was budgeted? Is that, I don't know.
No, that's Dr. Hunter. That's, I think that's
all new spending.
New spending. The other three are, as you see, they're highlighted in my green. That's part of the Gaming Commission ICW swap, the net zero
So do you know why there's a $10,000 increase in conferences, special events, and meetings, for example?
No, ma'am, I do not know.
Dr. Hunt?
Congressman Shaw?
My recollection is there was some allowance for training for staff, or some of those monitors or surveyors. Don't know if that accounts for the whole amount, but I know that's at least part of it. I was going to ask Mr. Zahn, is the reason that this is not 396 plus is because the difference went to the gaming commission?
Yes, sir, the difference of these three.
Yeah, so you know, remember the 396, whatever it was, 396, that 989, reason why it's not that is because the difference is what was pulled out of these programs into gaming commission.
Yes.
Well, the, you know, if we had this in the way we track it, or the way we had it, the four-page support documentation, then it would, by line, you would see the explanation for the additional money. And since it wasn't done that way, you're left to not know what the operations expense, the conference, special meetings. I'm concerned that if there's enough to knock $33,000 out of the immersion benefit line and $12,000 out of the museum benefit line. I guess what I heard was that the accounting office went through and saw how many people were actually participating in the benefits, meaning the 401k.
Health insurance and all that stuff.
So the health insurance and the 401k, because that's always included as a set percentage?
It's a set amount.
By formula, you go through and calculate so many people times so many dollars times blah, blah, blah. And all I can say is if we're going to do that, we probably ought to do it at a time during the year for all of the divisions, because that's a fair amount of money that would be otherwise put back into the retained revenue fund if it was not being spent. That's all I've got.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, ma'am. The only problem I see doing something like that is situations change. As an example, I didn't have the health insurance for 2.5 years, and then my wife didn't work her job anymore, so I picked up the health insurance. You know, I mean, someone may decide tomorrow I want to participate in the 401k. If we haven't appropriated that money, then they can't at any point, without coming to Congress, you know, for an individual now getting a benefit, participate. That's the only thing I see.
Well, I agree, which is why I mean, this money's being decreased, but I guess what you're saying is that anybody, one of these people that we just decreased their money, could take the health benefit or the 401k at any time between now and the end of the year.
It's up to this point, right?
Actually, I thought you had to sign up.
That's up to the day that those numbers were generated. So I guess what I'm saying is that was 2 weeks ago.
That's a month.
So now there's more of the benefits accumulating. So they could decide I need health insurance today.
I thought you had to sign up during a certain time. Do you know?
I think you had, but I guess in addition to that would be new employees. Anybody coming on new would get all the benefits and is able to participate, and then that would be.
So do you know in these two areas, how many did you take away from positions that aren't filled, or you actually?
Positions.
Or is that the only thing?
It's a combination of unfilled positions and people who are not participating.
And so I guess really the question is, can you start participating in the 401k at any time? Can you start participating in the health insurance? I thought you had to go through open enrollment and you could only sign up during that time, but maybe you can start at any time.
I can't speak on the 401k, but I'm pretty sure that if you're not a new employee, you have to sign up during the sign up time, but maybe I'm just kind of speaking sideways.
Mr. Potts?
Thank you. There are qualifying life events that could allow you to sign up mid-year. So say if for some reason you lost health insurance, that would open you up as a qualifying event. So there are times mid-year where you can sign up, but there are certain specifications or certain circumstances that have to be met.
So can I get a point of clarification then? The accountant went through and asked, or you asked the accountant for every employee in this division to determine how many weren't taking the health insurance and weren't participating in the 401k that you had appropriated funds for, and as a result they said immersion and museum were the two. Okay, and so language and historic preservation, everybody was participating.
As far as that.
Okay.
Any more discussion?
So I have a question to the sponsor. What do you, now we have one piece of legislation filed that was sent to appropriations and what, four or five that are farmed out to the committee of jurisdiction that you sponsored. What is your vision of how this is all going to proceed?
Well, if it's my vision, it probably won't happen the way I envisioned it, but I mean, to me.
Well, here, as a member of Congress, this is my concern, which is why I felt like, no, we already made this decision on last week, and I don't want to, I felt like it was, I understood what your purpose was. I understood that. But now I don't want to have our committee move this out. Appropriations meets in an hour, and then they're going to move theirs out, and then the other committees, who knows what they're going to do with theirs, and then we're stuck in what potentially could be, you know, a huge cluster. I don't want to see that happen.
Here's what I heard. I heard that there was going to be a motion in appropriations to farm out those sections, which would be the equivalent of this, that the purpose of these going to the committees of jurisdiction was for them to look at the new money requests and see if those new money requests are justified, and if they are, then send that bill out. That bill can be held pending the other bills coming through. If new money requests are taken out, that doesn't impact the movement to cure the perceived gaming commission problem. So shortfall. So that's how I would see it happening. But I do think that this is the appropriate time if someone thinks that these numbers in this committee are not adequately supported, that they could move to take any of these out, as well as move it on the floor. But now I think absent moving new money, which I think was the purpose of this, was to make sure the new money is justified, that you can continue to move on. I am a little concerned that somehow in two of the departments in this division, there's a lot of extra benefits, and apparently not in the others. I I think we need to maybe look at that closer next year if that's what's going on, but that's probably not something you can address today. So if nobody has any amendments, then I move to report the bill out to the Congress with the due pass recommendation.
On the floor, second of discussion. Congressman Edwards.
You're the speaker, you have the ability to hold bills, make that work. You're the keeper of the...
It's in this committee right now, but I...
I know, but I'm just saying that that's what can happen after he gets out.
Congressman Shaw.
I'd like to make an amendment to the motion. I'd like to strike, report out with the due pass recommendation to postpone the call of the chair.
Second. Motion's made and second of discussion. That is a strange...
Did we already have a motion to take?
Yeah, that's not really an amendment to the report, so...
You need to look in the precedent of motions and see what precedent it is.
I'm sorry?
You need to check your precedent of motions right now to see what takes precedent, whether a reporting...
Right, we need Shannon in here because I don't...
Move for 5 minute recess.
Well, why don't we just vote on the motion? I'm going to vote no, but I mean...
Because they're... Because they're... different. It's not like it's an amendment to what's on the floor. It's two motions, so... Unless you withdraw and then we can vote on hers.
See what Shannon says.
So I mean, they're kind of battling here.
Shannon's motion. You second it. Can you withdraw your second?
So there was a motion to report out the bill as a due pass. Congressman Edwards made the motion. Congressman Hamilton seconded it. We were in discussion. Congressman Shaw moved to amend that motion. However, his amendment was to table it to the call of the chair. So it's actually, I didn't...
Table it or postpone it?
Postpone it. Our new word.
And postponing is a totally different motion than...
Right, that's what I was saying.
Than reporting. And if you will take a brief recess, I'm going to look to see where reporting falls in the order of precedence in comparison to postponing, because I don't want to...
Right, that's what we called you for. Thank you.
Move for a 5 minute recess.
Second.
All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. We are recessed for 5 minutes.
I think that your visiting this in the Committee of Jurisdiction was a wonderful thing to get to do.
Well, I